Hey, welcome everybody online. Welcome in the room. Before we get started, we've been going through this Going Viral series, the book of Acts, and we've talked about light bulb moments, and we've talked about this amazing community that was built that we are still part of today. But the way we have understood it, although Stan has tried to preach it as best as he possibly can, we still need the very wise, the very well bearded, and the very well jumpered, Dr. Phil. Let's start there.
One of the great stories in the book of Acts occurs in chapter 3 and follows through into chapter 4. This is the story of how Peter and John continue the works of Jesus. They are going into the temple. There is a man who's crippled. He's sitting there, he's begging. He looks at them, he makes eye contact. They make eye contact with him. He expects money, but then they say, "We don't have any money, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." Now, this creates an incredible commotion because here's a man who hasn't walked, suddenly jumping around, very excited. And the crowd rushes because they want to know what's happening. And they are confused by the commotion. And so what does Peter do? Exactly what he did on the day of Pentecost. He stands up and he begins to tell them why this man has been healed. And he tells them it's because of Jesus. So we know what Luke says in chapter 1, where he says Acts is about the continuing works and words of Jesus. We now have an example of that. We have Peter convincing the crowd. He preaches them and the crowd becomes convinced of what he is saying, that Jesus is the Messiah, and it is through him that they too can experience salvation. And therefore, this passage in Acts is just so exciting, because this is an account of disciples doing the work of Jesus. Healing and teaching. Healing so that people are curious about things, and teaching so that they know what's happened.
Isn't it amazing that give Dr. Phil a hand. He's amazing. Isn't it amazing, though, the awe and the wonder of our faith that always starts? Everyone that started this journey of faith has experienced that awe and that wonder somewhere. Either it's been in a gathering where you've seen people responding differently to something you've ever seen before. It could be that sense of you actually maybe had a healing in your life. Maybe you were saved from an addiction. Maybe your life was changed from a place that you had no control over, but you were delivered from that. Maybe it was just about the community of faith coming around you and showing you the love of God. But one way or the other, you've experienced the awe of God and the wonder of how he works, the wonder and the majesty of how he works. The awe and the wonder is the wonderful stuff. We love the awe and the wonder. And in Acts chapter 1, 2, and 3, we've seen these disciples who have stepped into their new role. They've walked with Jesus for so long. They've seen Jesus. And Jesus has said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." In other words, Jesus taught as God, and now they are taking God's message forward. Jesus showed signs that they didn't understand and teaching that they didn't know. Remember, Jesus would teach and they would say, even his own disciples would come aside with him and go, "What was that about? We don't understand that. We don't understand." His teaching was done in parables often, and then he would have to explain it to them because the depths of the knowledge of the kingdom of God was so hard to understand in the context they were in, and sometimes even today remains that way. But Jesus would perform miracles in front of them to show not only that he was the Son of God, but that God was intervening in the culture. Something was changing. There was a shift happening in the chain, in the culture of the day. And we sit here today because of that cataclysmic shift. That's why we're here. So Jesus would teach and they wouldn't understand. And then he would show signs and they would doubt. And they would still, you know, the religious leaders would still try and get rid of him. The only one I can think of where he was asked to perform a sign and he wouldn't was where the religious leaders came up to him and challenged him and said, "Show us another sign." And he said, "You wicked and depraved generation, all you want is the signs. All you want is the signs. You don't want to learn. You don't want to mature. You don't want to change. You just want me to show off a sort of thing. And he said, I will not show you a sign today. In fact, I've already shown you the sign of Jonah. And what he was saying to them in a prophetic manner was, I am that savior. I am the one who, like the sign of Jonah, which was he was in that fish for 3 days. I will be dead. I will be buried. I will be raised again in 3 days. But they did not understand because they could not understand, but also because they refused to understand. This is the nature of the human being. We refuse to understand. Often we're presented with very clear evidence. Here is a sign. Here is the teaching to back up the sign. And yet we can still stand there in our humanity and say, no thanks, no thanks. So Jesus would teach and then he would show signs. And now the disciples come along and they have stayed in this place of wonder. They have stood in awe and wonder as they saw Jesus appear to them after his own death. They have stood in awe and wonder as they've seen him eat with him on the beach. They've stood in awe and wonder in Acts chapter 1 as they've watched him ascend into heaven to return to his Father. They have stood in the upper room and waited in awe and wonder as the Holy Spirit has fallen in flames and then split into individual flames over the top of their heads. And then they've stood in awe and wonder as they've stepped out of that upper room into the public gathering where the then known world is pretty much represented. All the nations of the world is pretty much represented. And all of them hear the gospel of the good news in their own tongue. This whole season is just so full of awe and wonder and awe and wonder and awe and wonder, and we love the awe and the wonder. But we all know that we can't live in that place all the time. Something has to happen because of the awe and the wonder. You have to grow. You have to lean into the learning of what has been revealed to you. You have to accept that this guy, Jesus, is the Son of God. You have to accept that these disciples, these apostles that are bringing this new teaching are telling the truth. The truth, because the truth will set you free. And everybody wants to be set free. At the end of this chapter of chapter 3 that we're about to have a look at, Peter delivers some pretty heavy words. He was not shy. He was never shy. He was I tell you what, if I'd experienced everything that they'd experienced in a couple of days' time, you know, just in that short period of time, I think I'd be pretty bold too, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you be pretty bold just to get out there and say what you needed to say? So you can see it here. He's talking to the Jewish people, remember. And at verse 24 of Acts chapter 3, he says, in addition, all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those after him have also foretold the covenant that God made with your ancestors. In other words, your story is being played out right here, right now, saying to Abraham, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through your offspring, all the families of the earth. Remember, Prophet Joel would say the Spirit of God we poured out on all flesh, men, women, everybody. Verse 26, God raised up his servant and sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your evil ways. The whole reason this thing is happening is so that the hearts of humanity can hear what they need to hear. They can hear the cure for their own curse. The sin that separates us, this is the cure. We are being presented with this beautiful resolution to the troubled hearts that we carry. Do you ever carry a troubled heart? Do you ever carry a burden that you shouldn't be carrying? This is the solution. It's being presented to us as truth, and it's going to be backed up by some awe and wonder. Let's go up to verse 1 of Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple for the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Straight up, you can see an established habit of going up this incredible set of stairs into that temple. The one that Herod had built, actually, to sort of appease the people. That's a whole other story. But they were walking up these stairs as they did every single day. It was understood that at sunrise and at 3 p.m. every day they would pray. And so this is their habit. They're walking up these stairs. Verse 2, a man who was lame from birth was being carried there. He was placed each day at the temple gate called Beautiful so that he could beg from those entering the temple. So here's the picture. You've got Peter and John, who had gone into the temple many, many times. Their rabbi had led them into the temple. Their rabbi had you know, turned some tables in the temple. Their rabbi had opened the scroll in that temple and said, in your presence, in your hearing, these scriptures are fulfilled. This temple had told a few stories for them. This physical space was part of their journey, and they kept that up. This man's friends, the lame man's friends, would carry him every single day. How good a friend do you have to be? Hey, Joe. It's time to go. We got everyone, got the whole team. Let's get Barry. I assume his name was Barry. They pick him up and they carry him up those same steps. So it's easy to assume that Peter and John would have seen this lame man every single day. But something about this day was different. Something about this day was different. The gate, beautiful, was an enormous gate. It was covered in Corinthian bronze, sometimes known as the Corinthian gate. Now, we don't know exactly where that is. History doesn't actually help us understand it. The Old Testament doesn't mention it. And the New Testament doesn't give us an exactly clear picture. So Josephus seems to think, the Jewish historian seems to think, that it was the opening to the courtyard for the Gentiles. Others think it was the opening to the courtyard for women. Others to the courtyard for men. Either way, there was a gate there that this lame man could not go beyond. Why? Because he was not whole. He was therefore impure, so couldn't go into those holier places. That's what the culture said. Now, here comes Jesus, and you can imagine the buzz that was going on around this time, right? I reckon this whole culture kind of knew that pretty recently, darkness had fallen in the middle of the day, and they'd heard thunder and lightning, and they'd heard a rumor that the temple in the inner part, the curtain at the inner sanctum of the temple had been torn from bottom to top, untouched by human hands. Can you imagine kind of the conversation going on? The culture is feeling that something is changing. Something very dramatic is going on. No one can say exactly what. We stand with the benefit of hindsight understanding it. But try and put yourself in that place. Beggar at the beautiful gate, sitting there, as was his habit every day. Friends that carried him there every day. Peter and John that went up the temple every day to pray at 3 p.m. This day somehow was different. This gate was 75 feet wide and 60 feet high. I don't know what the conversion is because I read it in an American Bible. So somebody tell me what the meters are. But that's a big gate. And can I just put it to you that as you walked up those amazing stairs to that gate, that the awe and the wonder of the physical building would have come over you a little. The lame man would go there because the crowd would gather and he would hold out his bowl to receive alms. And he would beg. And Peter and John would walk through the gate because they were allowed to. And he would beg. They would go through to where the blessing was. And he would sit at the gate and beg. Verse 3. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked for money. That's what he did every single time. And he's expecting just money. Because that's all he could do to survive and get to tomorrow. Verse 4, Peter, along with John, looked straight at him and said, look at us. There's a moment when you feel that nudge, that Holy Spirit nudge that says, help that person. And you try and ignore it maybe because it's inconvenient. It's always inconvenient. It's 3 p.m. It's time to pray, whatever it is. And they turn and they look and they say, look at us. And I can just imagine, put yourself in this picture, the electricity between those two sets of eyes, those three sets of eyes. What's happening next? Because now they've committed. They've got to say something now. Look at us. Cheers, mate. Walking. They've got to say something. So he turned to them, expecting to get something from them. Verse 6, but Peter said, I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. I don't have money for you. I don't have a wise saying for you. I have an instruction for you. I have something that says, we're going to change the way your day goes today, and we're going to change tomorrow as well. Something about this line of this gate, we're going to cross into the blessing. We're going to move from begging to blessing today, but you have to make an effort. Get up and walk. And it says, Peter reached out his right hand and lifted the man up. And it says his ankles began to strengthen and he began to stand. And it must have been like sort of in slow motion. I can feel it like happening in slow motion, where suddenly the feet were doing something, the brain was, hang on, my feet are, and can you imagine sort of testing those suckers out and going, I'm walking. And then he starts thinking, hang on, I might test this a little further. And I might just jump a bit because I don't care. I carry shame. I'm the guy that just begs every day. I've got no shame. I can look ridiculous in front of people. It doesn't matter because I'm kind of excited about what's going on. Is anybody else excited by what's happening here? You can imagine. I know, it's crazy, pastor. It's all right. My kid asked me the other day if I could dunk. I just said yes. And I'll never have to prove it to him. He's walking and he's leaping and now he's praising God. And suddenly the conversation in the courtyard is going, hang on, is this shift that's happening? Is this thing we've been hearing about? Maybe they weren't at that gathering the other day where Peter preached and they all heard that in their mother tongue, but maybe they'd heard about that. They'd heard about this guy Jesus that had apparently was still alive even though we killed him. And they'd heard maybe about the curtain being torn from bottom to top, and something is starting to change and they're starting to recognize him. And then it says, taking him by the right hand, he stood up and he jumped and he started to walk. In verse 9, all the people saw him walking and praising God. In verse 10, and they recognized that he was the one who used to sit and beg at the beautiful gate of the temple. So they were filled with awe and astonishment at what had happened. Everything about the gospel creates more access to the presence of God. Everything about the challenge that we receive actually has access granted. We don't have access granted when we're sinful beings. But Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will get... We get access. This beggar sat at a line that he couldn't cross, but now he was whole, and guess what? He could just step over that line because he was given access. He was given access. His life was changed because of this wonder. And so what does Peter do? He starts to preach. He starts to preach to the gathered crowd there. And I love this line because, you know, he's pretty gentle, the old Pete. Verse 15, you killed the source of life whom God raised from the dead. We were witnesses to this. He's looking at the people going, you tried to kill the very source of life that came to grant you access into the presence of God. But verse 16 says, by faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. So the faith that comes through Jesus has given him this perfect health in front of you all. Jesus taught and then showed. The disciples showed and then taught. And what did they teach? They taught this incredibly confronting thing called repentance. Called repentance. And I can sort of imagine Peter as he's reaching out to lift that man's hand, thinking, I don't know what I'd be thinking, this better work. But I can also see him flashing back to a time where he was sinking and Jesus reached out his right hand and lifted him up, because he'd stood in a place of awe and wonder, and his culture shift had happened internally, and his faith had grown, and he knew that everyone deserved access to the presence of God, and he put it into action. He put it into action. There's one more parallel that I'd like to draw, and it's this. When Jesus healed the lame man, do you remember he said, son, your sins are forgiven, rise up and walk? When Peter did it, he didn't have the power to forgive sins, because no man does. That's God's job. We come with a repentant heart. He said, stand up and walk, and then preached repentance. The lesson, you don't got to be perfect to start your journey with God. You just trust him. Let him grab your hand and lift you out of where you are. Let you stand on your own two feet and then gather with the community of the saints. There's community all around this picture. And he starts to teach repentance. The thing that gets in the way of the presence of God is our stubborn hearts. Our own humanity gets in our own way. On the other side of that gate where he was begging was blessing. It was a beautiful gate. There was awe and wonder there, but you've got to walk through that. You've got to let go of the shame and the guilt and the things that hold you back, the things that say, you're not good enough, you're not worthy, I don't deserve. Yes, you do. Yes, you are. Yes, you can. Because there is a God that will do literally anything to reach out and lift you up so that you can stand on your own two feet and maybe even start to leap a little. Because I'm not ashamed. I just don't care what you think of me, because the gospel of Jesus Christ is truth that drives my life forward, that drives my family, that drives my whole ethos of life. So why wouldn't I just look a little bit foolish every now and again for the sake of the gospel so that somebody might hear it? You're trying to photograph this, aren't you? For all those online, Charles just lifted his camera. You ready? There you go. That's it. I hope you got it. That's it. It's the only one I'm giving you, except for this one. On the other side of the line, you know, there was blessing. And the blessing is refreshing, but the refreshing only comes from repentance. What's your ask today? What is it you're asking? He wants to grant you peace. He wants to give you that ability to stand on your own two feet in strength, knowing that you are loved, you are known, you are held, you are forgiven. But you need to come first and understand that the biggest miracle that happens in any of our lives is that we would admit that we are wrong and need Him. From begging to blessing, you need to go through that gate where the shame and the guilt has held you down, close to but not across the line. And so you step across that line to the blessing, and the blessing is refreshing, but the refreshing only comes from repentance. So friends, again, the challenge is, will you give Jesus the lead in your life? Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. I pray for each one of us in the space and online today that you would understand that you are seen and that you are known and that you are allowed in to God's presence. And some of you feel like, I don't know how to get there by myself. Ask the community of faith around you. Let the culture of the gospel shift you closer to who God has made you to be. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your refreshing. Thank you that you come to us and accept us just as we are, and you help us to stand, and then you just say, just make yourselves right. So Lord, we repent of that, for those things that have come between us and you. We repent of our sin and we lay that burden at your feet. And we ask that you would come and dwell with us, walk with us. Let us know your awe and your wonder, but let us lean in and learn and walk in that revelation that there is nothing that needs to come between you and your children. And so we worship you today.